Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, it's python.
It's Sterny's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Sterny's Daily on this Reaction Monday is brought to you, powered by Home Depot. Home Depot.
Man, that is not accurate.
Made a big return today at Home Depot. Wasn't sure they were going to help. Actually, Ron, I've probably spent close to, I would say, $100,000 at Home Depot in the last, maybe even more than that, at Home Depot in the last 2 years.
I'd say since I've known you, you have.
I mean, the last couple of years, renovating a couple of properties, three apartments, a house, with probably $100,000. I pull up today. I got my mom with me, Granny, 75, gray-headed. By the way, Granny, Thursday birthday, man.
76?
November 6th, man. She was born in 50. 11-6-50 is when old Granny was born. So, yes, it's going to be, this will be 75 for Granny.
75, okay.
75 for Granny. So, yeah, got her with me. And I say, Ma, ease on into Home Depot over there. I pulled up. I got this. I got 16 foot. I got 20 boards that are steel wrapped together because I ordered the wrong size. They delivered on a big truck. So I put them kind of diagonal on this trailer that was illegal as hell. Thank you to the Chambers County, Harris County, Baytown, Popo, Barbers Hill, Mont Bellevue, Popo. I appreciate y'all not yanking me over and giving me a ticket because I was illegal on the back end and the front end of my trailer. Had it sticking over with no red flag today. I'll be honest, I did. But I had that Ron, I had that thing tied down. Didn't fit on that trailer, no, but it got there. Mom goes inside and says, hey. Got a big return out here with these 16-foot boards. You think, you know, one, is this where we need to drop it off? Two, can you get somebody do you have somebody that can help my son get it off the truck? Nah, we ain't got nobody that can help you. Mm. You got to get it off and wheel it in here, and then we'll scan it. And when we scan it, we'll let you know what you need to do next. But we ain't got nobody that can help you. There's literally a dude outside in the breezeway helping a guy load stuff that guy just bought, and it says – loader on the back of his jacket. Literally loader on the back of his jacket.
He said they didn't have one for your ass.
He didn't can't help you do it. Shoot, old granny. Hey, young fella, excuse me. Can I talk to you for a minute? He said, yes, ma'am. He said, you think you can help my son get these boards off the back of this when it won't take me just a second. When you get done with that right there. He said, yes, ma'am, I got y'all. Boop, boop. Got on there, rolled it in there, got that thing returned. Baby, got my money back, big
there
dog.
You go.
Got my money back. I was inside of my 90 days and got it back. Home Depot. Today's sponsor.
Now, would you have asked him if?
Oh yeah, I told her to do it.
Oh okay.
She would have done it if she wasn't there. Yeah, because I could not have gotten them. They were 16 foot long. I couldn't get them off the truck myself, and it was impossible.
Yeah.
Not because they weighed too much, because they were too long and too flimsy, and there's too many of them. It was 20 of them bound together. You know what I mean? Trim piece. So I couldn't. I had to have some help. But that fool inside just said, "Oh no, we ain't got no help. We can't help y'all. Get the hell out of here." Yeah, you can. I mean, no matter how much money you spend at Home Depot, they can't help you. They got employees standing around in there shooting a damn breeze. About four of them shooting a breeze around a paint can. They ain't got nobody to help me get like, literally took 5 seconds.
With but a jacket that say loader.
With a jacket that said, no, we, the guy that the jacket says loader can't help you unload. It says loader.
It's loading. Yeah. No, unload.
Yeah, I was hot. But Home Depot, you get it today, baby. You get it today. Appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all for getting that money back in my bank account. I do need to check I was there and processed it, but I did not check my account to make sure it came back. I will do that. But D'Amico Ryans, on the backside of this loss to the Denver Broncos, for me, guys, this is just one more example of how D'Amico Ryans is struggling mightily with the offensive side of the football. This is no surprise to me. I said it when you hired the defensive-minded head coach. The biggest X factor in moving forward, whether this organization is going to be able to win a championship or not, is can D'Amico Ryans hire an offensive coordinator and get the offensive side of the football right? I had no concerns about the defensive side of the football. And that is shown over 3 years to be true, right? Clearly, Bobby Slowick wasn't a guy. You fired him and moved on. Now you got Nick Caley. And where we're at now is D'Amico Ryans is overseeing the offense. And when I say oversee, we all witnessed it with our own eyes, Ron. Whether you're talking about OTAs, we're talking about training camp, D'Amico Ryans gives up play calling duty. There's no doubt about it. D'Amico Ryans' hands are all over this offense.
Oh, you think he's got a huge voice?
No question. No question about it. D'Amico Ryans' hands are all over this offense. Nick Caserio's hands are all over this offense, which it shouldn't surprise anybody. You hired a guy that never called plays before that would take an offensive coordinator position, and you pick his staff for him. You keep guys that were in the building before when the offensive coordinator you deemed necessary to fire. So it doesn't surprise anybody that the dynamic on the offensive side of the football. D'Amico is no doubt about it, heavy-handed in the offensive side of the football. Definitely overseeing and checking off, signing off on what it is they're doing. And that brings me to this point. This is one more opportunity. I think it happened against Seattle. I think it's happened multiple times throughout the year. D'Amico Ryans does not know his team on the offensive side of the football. He does not know or just refuses to accept who his guys are on the offensive side of the football. Sorry, I said defense. I mean on the offensive side of the football, right? A little earlier, we talked about the play selection inside the five-yard line. Not only did they decide to run the ball, got no problem with running the football, right? I got a problem with running the football and Woody Marks never touching it. I got a problem with running the football and you never got out of the goal line package heavy formation. You didn't have one receiver in the game. There was never an attempt to spread it out. You decided you were going to line up and tell everybody in the world we're fixing to run the football right there, and we're gonna make you like it. And one of the best defensive lines, arguably the best defensive line in football, said no, not once, not twice, not three times, but the fourth time, which by the way, the film did show that CJ got over, but it doesn't matter. You had a false start, so it moved you back, and you had to kick a field goal. The play selection, the approach, the personnel. You shopped at the O-line discount rack this offseason. And now you're talking about displacing people and moving folks and playing some elite physicality brand of offensive line, sustaining drives against great defenses. You can't shop at the discount rack and do those kind of things, right? The running back situation in the fourth quarter. I said it. This is a hill that I'm going to die on. There was no reason in a game like that, tie ball game, one play was going to change the game. There's no reason that the Texans should have had any running back not named Woody Marks catch the football or run the football in that fourth quarter. There's one guy on that offense outside of Nico Collins that has the ability to make a game-changing play to get you in field goal range, to take one to the house, and that's Woody Marks. And you're trying to outsmart everybody in the building by going Dare Ogunbowale and Nick Chubb. It's common football sense, especially when you don't have a ton of explosive players on the offensive side. Think players, not plays. Get the football in the hands of your most explosive players, especially when the game's on the line, you're running out of time, it's a tie ball game, and you're one play away from winning this thing. Instead, what you do is you line up inside the five-yard line, and you don't let any of those guys touch the ball. Hell, Nico wasn't even on the field. And then, in this situation in the fourth quarter, you give Dare, I believe, had a catch, and I believe that Chubb may have had a carry or two in there, and Woody Marks was standing on the sideline a good chunk of the time. I think it's crazy. I think it's crazy to do that. But the one that was the most egregious, Ron, for me, you and I talked about it briefly when it happened, and I'll be honest, at the time I said, what the hell do you got to lose? Hell with it, man, go for it. And I was dead wrong. When you look at how this game ended in the fourth quarter, D'Amico Ryans should have opened the press conference today with, guys, I was dead wrong. I mismanaged this situation, and I didn't put my guys in position to win this game, to have the best chance to win this game. And I think it's important at this point in time. The Texans get the football. There's a minute, according to ESPN, there's a minute 14 on the clock. I thought it was a minute 9. According to the ESPN box score, it's a minute 14 on the clock. The Texans have the ball. Tie ball game. You're backed up on your own 13. Denver has two timeouts, which is critical. Denver has two timeouts. You've got your backup quarterback in the game. You got your backup quarterback in the game who I believe at this point had played damn near three quarters and hadn't converted one third down. The previous five drives to this particular drive starting, you went three plays, five plays, four plays, three plays. Every single one of them resulted in a punt. There was no reason, whether it's the situation, who's in the game, how successful you had been to that point, there was no reason for D'Amico Ryans, Nick Caserio, and whoever the game managers are for the Texans to feel like, yeah, man, let's get aggressive right here and let's see if we can move this football 60 yards so that we can give our kicker a chance to kick a field goal. There was nothing that said be aggressive in that particular moment. In fact, if you run the football or throw a screen to keep the clock running, you had the ability to not only force Denver to waste both timeouts, but you also had a chance to run that clock under 20 seconds. And with your defense, punt the football beyond midfield, and your defense has got to run about three plays and hold them down for about three plays, and you go into overtime, and you hope in overtime you get the football with better field position, and the odds are in your favor. Ron, this is another one where I can apply the same point I made previously in this segment. I don't know who D'Amico Ryans thinks he has on the offensive side of the football. I don't know who he thinks he has as an offensive play caller, as a backup quarterback, as an offensive line that was missing your right tackle, the best offensive lineman you have, the wide receiver group that had been pedestrian at that point after CJ left the game, outside of the go route to Nico and the speed cut out route to Xavier Hutchinson. This is one of those moments, Ron, where unless you're like me and in the moment when asked about it, you just say, F it, man, let's see what we can do. Like, I don't know how you as a game manager in the NFL get to a point of like, let's get a couple of quick completions and get this drive rolling and see if we can go kick a field goal. I think it's egregious, man.
I'll be honest with you. I think you're right. I think it was probably the wrong move. Based off everything you talked about, based off what your offense had shown you, what they've – I told you, for me, my biggest concern was, all right, you're at the 13-yard line. Like, you want to avoid the sack turnover. Because, they had started to make some moves at that point. But even though I think it was probably the wrong move, like, as a fan, if I'm a fan or I'm watching the game, if my coach says, man, come on, man, let's go win the game. Let's try and go win the game. I can't be too mad at that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's go win the game. My problem is, for you, Clint, right now, if you were to say the four guys on this team, the four guys on this team that you feel like have the best opportunity to win matchups, the best opportunity to make plays that we've seen that can touch the ball on the offense, who are those four?
Dalton Schultz, Nico Collins, Woody Marks, Christian Kirk.
Christian Kirk, I would say Noel.
Okay, no, fast break. No, you're fair.
From what we've seen.
I'm with you, especially at this point in the game.
From what we've seen this year, those four guys, Nico, Marks, Dalton Schultz, and Noel, all right?
I'll agree with that based on what we've seen this year.
None of them were targeted or touched the ball in any of those three plays that they ran. Like, none of them, right? Yeah, it was 14 seconds to get, but none of them. Christian Kirk, you said he was the four. He was the incomplete. Hutch got a ball, and then
Higgins.
I mean, Higgins got a ball, and then Zach Allen kicked Lincoln Tomlinson's ass, but a throw was in the middle of the field. Like, Hey, something's got to go to one of those four. I'm certain Jalen wasn't on the field. So well, that's the bigger part for me is, all right, man, you want to go win it. God, dog, man, Woody, Dalton, Nico, no, one of them got to touch it at least once, at least be targeted.
And Ron, to your point, like, that exactly is the reason. That's why when you should cringe when D'Amico Ryans talks about, oh, yeah, we're trying to get the ball to Nico Collins. No, I mean, clearly you're not. Like, him getting the ball just in rhythm and in the offense is not what we're referring to here. And so, yeah, that was a moment when you'd like to dial up a play to where Nico Collins could potentially make one.
I'd have kicked off the drive with a screen to Woody Mark. So, I mean, I just can't believe it. They did that, all four of them. None of them touched the ball. None of them were targeted in that thing. That was the tougher part to me. Again, like you said, Clint, it probably was, hey, man, play for, you know, maybe your defense taking the ball away may give you a better shot. But, I mean.
Well, you got to at least play for better field position.
Damn.
That's the thing is you can't give them the ball back at midfield with two timeouts.
Yeah. 14 seconds. They didn't have to call a timeout. that was tough. All right. That's Dirty's Daily as we continue here on a little reaction Monday. We'll do this as we do each and every week. Our Man Eye Institute Players of the Game. And I know sometimes these weeks can be difficult, but the defense still did play well, held that team under 20 points, and the offense showed some moments there, especially early. Who are your Man Eye Institute players of the game? We'll do that coming up. All right, welcome back into a Reaction Monday. Clint Stern in the building. Tyler is out today, but our guy Byron is in. We expect to hear and have T-Mill back tomorrow as we are still reacting to the Texans' 18-15 loss. Drops them to 3-5. Overall in a really must-win game coming up on Sunday against Jacksonville, who eked out a win against the Raiders in overtime. Really, the Raiders tried to go for two and missed and didn't have a chance on it. But that is where things stand. Remember, we are out early, 5 o'clock, because the coaches show with D'Amico Ryans comes up after we get done. So stay tuned for that as he'll be there to address things with the fellas coming up in a bit. Before we do get to the Man Eye Institute Player of the Game, and you all can text in your players of the game. As I see some people say, there aren't any. There are. Somebody texted in, Clint, as you were talking there in Dirty's Daily, and they were talking about Woody Marks. What have you seen from Marks? He hasn't looked good. And I would just say, before you go into that, yes, yesterday he had 10 carries for 27 yards and somehow got no catches in the game. But the previous week, he was over 110 total yards, 62 on the ground on 11 touches, and then four receptions for 50 yards.
Look, so, I mean, if you're listening to this show and if you watch the Texans, you don't understand what the hell I mean about Woody Marks being in the ballgame in the fourth quarter, then we got to order another beer. We'd order another round and talk about Astros or something.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or dsw.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh,
wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We're not talking about what somebody did yesterday. We're not talking about what somebody did in this drive or that drive. We're talking about, damn it, sit down and I mean, who? At the way that game was going, you're one freaking play away from winning a damn ball game. The least you could ask is that the organization have the players on the field that have the ability to make somebody miss, that can catch a check down the way he did last week and take it 50 yards across midfield and into field goal range himself. The least you could expect and ask is for that guy to touch the football, right? The least you could ask is the best player on the offense, one of the best wide receivers in football, touch the football in those moments. If you have decided that you're going to be aggressive, which I would not have done, but if you are going to decide you're going to be aggressive, the least you could expect is one of those guys touching the football. If you don't get that simple fact about what we're watching in Houston, then, I mean, I don't know what the hell you're watching.
Yeah. No, I get it. It's very clear why Woody should. I mean, just last week, he was better than Christian McCaffrey.
But watch every team, Ron. Watch every team. When the game's on the line, it's simple football, man. When the game's on the line and they got a chance to win the game, they're targeting these guys over and over and over and over again. Those guys are getting at least targets, if not touches, and catches in open space and screens and exotic, you know, carries or catches. I mean, look yesterday, the Harvey kid from Denver. I mean, that is how Woody Marks should be used. Swing screens, right? I mean, catching the ball in space.
On a linebacker.
One-on-one on a linebacker going in, out, option. No, shake, we're going to go over the top of you and catch a touchdown. That's how Woody Marks should be used. And we hadn't seen it at all.
Not much.
Like, but we hadn't seen it at all, Ron. The times that we've seen Woody Marks catch the football, it's been back to the defense, catching a check down and turning and making a play. We've not seen him used with a bullet route or a shake route or anything like that. We haven't seen it at all. And one would argue with Nico being out for a game or two that, hell, like, you have more of a reason to show it than anybody. Like, it's like, if you really think about it, like, you sit here and watch the film and you watch the games and you're just like, how? Yeah. I don't give a damn what kind of offense you're trying to run. I don't care if you've never called offensive plays before. I don't care if you are a defensive-minded head coach. How are the simple things about football? Just when you've got a running back that can go for 100-plus yards in a game when you're not even trying to get him the ball, when you're splitting carries with another back, he goes for over 100 yards. He has a Christian McCaffrey-type game. You're not even trying. Imagine what it would be like if you tried to get him the football. I mean, we're sitting here watching, and these guys are answering questions to the press like we're idiots. Like these guys are idiots for asking questions about, hey, man, why don't you get Nico the ball more? Hey, how come you don't get – how come Nico had 7 catches in the first quarter and a half and then didn't
well,
do much?
They tell you they are trying to get it to him.
Right. Instead of – like, it's just – it's – like, I'm frustrated right now, and this may be the first time I've really got actually frustrated about it. I've kind of just chalked it up to just – not having never done it, inexperienced, but like now it's just like it's not. I mean, I don't.
Jalen Noll the last two games to him getting 11 snaps.
How?
No, it's.
Yeah. Dare Agunbowale, by the way, let me piss you off more. Dare Agunbowale had 12.
I think you're pissing
Jalen Noll had 11. I mean, how?
You're pissing yourself off.
It's.
Well, Darius is special teams.
Yeah, but. Well, were
no,
they?
No, I'm just kidding. No, they're off.
Like, I guess I just chalk a lot of it to up to defensive-minded head coach, you know, quarterback, I mean, play caller that's never called play. Like, but you can't. Like, there's high school coaches every day that go out on Friday nights and get their best player touches time and time and time again and damn sure in critical situations.
Well, guys. Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. Streaming November 16th on Paramount, a show that we both love, is The Return of Landman. From Taylor. Yeah, November 16th. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, Academy Award winner Billy Bob Thornton is back, featuring Academy Award nominees Demi Moore, Andy Garcia, and Sam Elliott.
Old girl from Varsity Blues didn't get an Emmy Award?
Hell no.
How did she? She's the main character.
She didn't get. I mean, these are
American
former.
It's American Pie, right?
Well, I mean, I think she was in Varsity Blues too.
Okay.
Was I don't. I remember in Varsity Blues. I don't remember.
She's got to be the main attraction.
Remember her in? She was in Dawson's Creek. I'm certain too. Anyway, yeah, Landman, the new season streaming November 16th only on Paramount Plus. All right, Clint, who is your Man Eye Institute player of the game? By the way, Man Eye Institute, see life better.
I'm going to go with Kamari Lassiter. I think this Sean Payton's approach, Ron, to this game was not we're going to go down here and we're going to minimize risk and we're going to check the ball down and we're going to sustain drives. He knew he was playing an unbelievable defense that if you could get the ball off, you could get behind him and you could create some opportunities. It was blatantly obvious from jump. Sean Payton's game plan was, I'm fixing to take as many shots as I can. I'm going to let them be aggressive, get upfield, and I'm going to try to throw the football over their head. And our defense was so damn good that it damn near didn't work. It damn near backfired. And Kamari Lassiter, to me, was the one guy that didn't get got. We saw him. He targeted Henry Toa got. We saw him target Derek Stingley Jr. a couple of times. He got. And Kamari, I don't believe, ever got hit with one. In fact, He made up a couple of ground on a couple of plays and made good pass deflection, pass breakup. So I got to go with Kamari Lassiter.
All right,
smelled tremendous last night in the post game pressure. By the way, didn't have the name of the cologne. I asked him about it.
I was just about to ask you, did you get the name yet?
I tried. He didn't have the answer. He told me he'd get it to me. I don't know how he's going to do that.
Yeah, I didn't know that we were going with that.
I mean, it was okay. Tremendous. I'm big. I like to ask the fellas when they come in. It smells good. Last week was some kind of butter, some kind of body spray, something that Hutch had on.
Well, I don't know how this fella smelled yesterday, but for me, I'm going to go with Ariante Ursary. Listen, he gave up some pressures. He was left on an island at times, and he was facing some of the best pass rushers in football. But Clint, to me, I thought, coming into the game, and we expressed it last week, I was very concerned about that matchup. And again, Clint, he gave up some rushes. There was one where Davis was able to spin out as he got beat like one good time by Nick Benito. But overall, I thought that was a big improvement. I thought that game had a chance to look a lot like the one against Jacksonville and Josh Hines Allen. And especially early, he held up well, and his pass protection was a lot better than I thought it was going to be against that Broncos front. Again, it wasn't perfect, but I it was much better. I don't think we were looking at, damn, man, Ursary is giving up hell today.
Yeah, it was interesting. In the postgame show last night, we got a lot of calls about the offensive line and how terrible they were. Granted, they couldn't run the ball, and it was awful instead of the five-yard line getting pushed and all that. I get that. But, like, I don't remember – now, I remember watching a bunch of three and outs, four and outs, five plays and out, but I don't remember being like, boy, the quarterback just cannot function. There is way too much chaos.
There was nothing like the Jacksonville game, or definitely nothing like what we saw last year. Like last year, where there'd be long stretches where they couldn't get anything done. Right. I thought in particular him, he was really good, especially at the point in time where Blake Fisher had to come in. You know, that's the side where you got to give help. And hell, I saw him move 15 to the other side to not go up against him. So I thought Ursary played really, really well yesterday. All right, coming up as we continue, some news, some positive news with the Texans.
just coming out here in the last 30 minutes. We'll let you know what that is. And we'll take a look at Nick Caley, his performance yesterday. A lot went against his team and probably changed his game plan, but we'll look at what he did yesterday. That's Nick. All right, welcome back into the drive. Coming up behind us, our guys, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, will be there with the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, as he will have the coaches show coming up behind us. And behind the coaches show will be Monday Night Football. The Dallas Cowboys, some of interest from people around here, but the Dallas Cowboys and the Arizona Cardinals get going tonight on Monday Night Football. You can hear that live rolling around here on Sports Radio 610 coming up after the coaches show with D'Amico Ryan. So D'Amico coming up at 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock, as soon as we get done here. And that'll be followed by Monday Night Football, courtesy of Westwood One, Cowboys, Cardinals, after the fellas get done with the coaches show and Texans All Access. So stay tuned for that. Again, Byron, shout out to Byron, done a great job today. He's in as Tyler is out today. We expect to have Tyler back in the building tomorrow. So be ready for T. Millie. See how he feels about the Texans. Hopefully he is in a decent spot. Like you said, Clint, hopefully he's really leaning into the Aggies. That's
he's in there. Week. Little basketball game. Remember?
I know he's at the basketball game.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. He is Northgate pre-gaming. He is going to the game. He's going to lose his voice.
Good for him. Oh, you think it'll be a little dangerous tomorrow with him?
Oh.
We'll hear a little.
Oh, yeah. We'll be, I don't know. When's the game? Oh, no. He's it don't matter when the game is. Afterwards, when does Northgate close, too? Yeah, he'll be.
Gonna have a little raspy.
What are the odds, if you had to bet, that Tyler goes to the game tonight, like the mid-30s? What is he? How old is he? 36?
Yeah, 35 in mid-30s.
Like a 35-year-old should go to the game, have a good little time, get in the car, come home, get you a good night's rest.
No, that's not the plan. He's getting on with the fellas and they going in.
That's
not the plan.
Never was the plan.
That shouldn't be the plan. No. He's got good seats, what I hear. Of course.
Oh, he ain't going unless he got good seats.
Yeah, and he's gonna have himself a good time as he should. Should be a fun thing. All right, before we get to Nick Caley, Clint, some news coming across. This according to Aaron Wilson. Texans tight end, Cade Stover, who's been out with that broken foot that led to surgery, and safety Jimmy Ward, who had off-season foot surgery, are nearing their return to practice within the few weeks, per league sources. Stover has done a good job with his rehab, per D'Amico Ryans. He may return as soon, Clint, as next week. He may return as soon as next week. So that's that is good news coming up with Cade Stover, who they've missed as a second tight end, and somebody I know in the during training camp, you were excited about his potential coming into this season in year two, being a part of this thing in a lot of different ways from that tight end spot, and then somebody that D'Amico really, really trusts, Jimmy Ward, in that secondary could be back. But Cade Stover maybe this week against the Jags. That's good news. They need all the help they can get right now. On that offense.
Yeah, look, big fan of Cade Stover here. This would be a big get if they can get him back in the fold in the next couple of weeks. I mean, you're talking about a guy that allows you to go two tights, one guy that can put his hand in the dirt and embraces that physicality, and then Dalton Schultz, who has been tremendous this year in terms of embracing the physicality in the run game and catching the ball. So your tight end room would get significantly better. Which would help this offense, I think. I don't know how noticeable it would be, but it would help this offense internally for damn sure if you had another tight end that you could trust.
Yeah, so look forward to seeing Cade Stover back. Hopefully they can add him into it. All right, Clint, before we hand it over to D'Amico Ryans, and I'm sure he may talk about this a little bit, but listen, Nick Caley, let's just be honest, has been in a tough spot all season, to be frank with you. As I've said, this isn't an easy gig, and – Sunday, it was made even more difficult with the key injuries he had, right? There's no C.J. Stroud. There's no Titus Howard after the second quarter. But still. Offensively, in so many ways, they were awful and have to be better. 15 points they scored. That's on all field goals. They didn't get into the end zone at all, and they had great opportunities, multiple opportunities at the one, and they didn't get into the end zone. First and goal at the one and didn't get into the end zone. They were 4-for-8 on third and fourth downs combined, 3-for-17 on third down, 268 total yards, 77 yards rushing. As I said, no C.J. Stroud, no Titus. Didn't have any turnovers in the game, so that wasn't a problem. How would you say you thought Nick Caley did yesterday with everything he had to deal with?
Look, I think he left a lot to be desired. I don't blame, you know, I think I'm probably in the minority here. I don't blame a lot on him. I think this is a D'Amico problem more so than anything, even more so than the injuries. I think the injury just kind of magnified the already issues of this offense has. So I'll be loud and clear. I think it's a D'Amico problem more so than a Nick Caley problem. But look, Nick Caley left a lot to be desired. I mean, once you get beyond the thought of in the fourth quarter saying, hey, man, we're going to go for it and be aggressive in a situation where we should chew up their timeouts and go to overtime and ensure overtime. You know, once you get beyond going, hey, man, we're inside the 5-yard line, you know, what are we going to do? Like this is, you know, there's a creativity problem. There is a focusing on and getting the football to your best player problem. The group looks overwhelmed in critical moments of the game constantly. Like a lot of that has to do with Nick Caley, and that's who's managing that group and running that group as a whole on a daily basis. And so the appearance of not being prepared, the appearance of being overwhelmed, the appearance of zero creativity, the appearance of like zero energy, effort, or want to get the best players, the most explosive players, the football in space, like that, all of that stuff is Nick Caley. So I'll put it to you like this. Look, I think he's got the odds stacked against him, but I think he in general has left a lot to be desired.
Yeah. No, I mean, he looks at times, I would say the majority of the time, Clint, of the way we feared at the start of the year. A guy coming in that doesn't have a ton of experience. We don't have a lot of history to see what he can do. He's got less, I would say, less talent overall than the previous regime, the previous OC had to deal with, and he's not as good as the previous OC. I think we're seeing those things combined. And I think an interesting point that maybe we can dive in a little deeper at some point this week, because you're pushing this where you feel like he also is probably having multiple other voices, especially his head coach and maybe even the GM, but his head coach in his room a lot more than well, Bobby had.
Yeah, well, right? I just think this. I think as D'Amico has shown time and time again to be overseeing and on top of everything that's going on offensively, it is hard to not believe, for me, to believe that he has a strong hand in the simple things that aren't happening, right? I just watched the last three plays of the game when you're trying to get quick completions. They didn't move one guy pre-snap. Three plays, they didn't move one guy pre-snap. Not one. Not one guy to get a free release. Not one guy to see what the coverage was. Not one guy to get a pick play in the quick throw in the flats. Not one guy to force the defense to make a call and adjust. Just line up stationary, vanilla as can be, and run mirrored quick routes. You can't tell me, like, if I'm D'Amico Ryans and I'm the head coach, just knowing what I know about offensive football, I'm going to Nick Caley a month ago and saying, why do we never use hard counts? Why do we not have, why in critical moments do we not have motions? How many times are we going to line up in short yardage situations in heavy personnel and not get it before we try to spread these guys out and do a little something different? You know what I mean? How come our motions are guys that are jogging around? How come nothing's crisp?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How come, like to your point, how come our playmakers disappear in from game plan to
that
game
time,
plan.
Yeah, don't even get on the field.
These are all football 101 things. Why are we rotating left guards? Why, you know, what all of these kind of things are really, really interesting to me. And as much as D'Amico Ryans is on top of this offense, those are all things that I would expect him to demand. So yeah, I think I'm not saying he's in the meeting with him, but I think D'Amico Ryans has a lot to do with our goal line and short yardage stuff. Nope, we're going heavy personnel. We're going to move guys. We're going to be the more physical team. We're going to move guys. That's what we're going to do. Our identity is being physical. That's what we're going to do. Whereas if I'm D'Amico Ryans right now, I'm going to go up and say, hey, bub, we're not that team. So figure out a way to go 11 personnel. Figure out a way to spread these guys out. Figure out a way to toss it.
What are other options? We can't get down here.
Running the ball between the tackles at Zach Allen and DJ Jones and whoever the hell it was that Leonard Williams, that big boy in Seattle, that's not an option anymore. Figure something else out. So yeah, I do. I think D'Amico Ryans has a heavy hand in what's going on offensively. I think he's responsible for a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's a lot. That's a lot more than what he was doing in his previous couple of years here. So, no, man. I have some issues with some of the things he did, but I will understand. You lose your quarterback and your best offensive lineman in the middle of that thing. It does. It. I mean, for somebody, Clint, who generally doesn't seem to adjust well when he's got all his parts, to somebody who doesn't seem to have a lot of creativity in what he wants to do when he has all of his parts, it was just going to look even worse.
Well, I just here's the thing, Ron, is I don't know how Bill Lazor – is he still in the building over there? Is Bill Lazor still in the building over there?
I think so.
You know, Bill Lazor, what's the cat that he brought with him from L.A.?
Splinski.
Yeah. Gerard Johnson. I don't know how these guys sit around and coach this group and watch the film and aren't disgusted. I don't know how I've never been around a coaching staff that would watch that last drive and go, yeah, man, we just got to execute. I mean, could you look at it and go, yeah, well, so-and-so was open on the right side and he worked left. Yep, yeah, sure you can. But how do you look at that and go,
D'Amico said it wasn't a plan.
We're going to throw quick out to the left right here to Higgins, who ain't pissed a drop.
Byron, great job as always. Clint, great job. Also, Tyler, have fun tonight. We'll see you tomorrow. Coming up next, the Coach's Show with D'Amico Ryans. I am Ron. The show is always Houston. We love you, baby. Just one look at you. And I know it's gone.